following is a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
In his playing days, he was known as the Igniter. Now, he's here to kickstart your Sunday Twins fix. It's the Paul Molitor Show.
You know, you can hit a mistake a long way. It's fun to watch. There's not a lot of guys who can close on balls like that. It was quite a play. Just a dominant start for him.
The Paul Molitor Show is sponsored by Killabrew Root Beer, made in Minnesota. It's how memories are created and legends are made. Now, here are the hosts of the Paul Molitor Show, Chris Atterbury and Jack Morris.
That is half true today. Good morning and welcome to the Paul Molitor Show, brought to you by Killabrew Root Beer. Jack Morris not here today. He is gone for a very good reason. Paul Molitor is here today. And Paul, we're gonna start with that. First of all, good morning. Good to see you.
Good morning to you. Another nice day here.
Yeah, it's been a great
beautiful
run.
Weekend. Yeah.
Great run of weather. Got a good pitching matchup. No place where you'd rather be than at the ballpark.
It's going to be a good day today. Where's Mr. Morris?
He is leading a parade on the opening day of the Highland Park Little League.
I remember the Highland Park Little League. Well, I actually played in it 1 year. But good for Jack.
Now, see, you played in the Highland Park Little League 1 year more than Jack did, because Jack told me he did not actually play in Highland Park until he was a little bit older. Now, where was your Little League? You would have been on the other side of town.
For the people on the St. Paul side, I played at Linwood Park for a while, and then I was down at Oxford Playground. So, but I did the Highland Recreation.
Yeah.
Groveland Highland Recreation Association, I did participate in. So, good for Jack.
You probably still got that jersey somewhere, right?
I don't know about that, yeah.
It's changed a little bit, though, huh? Hasn't it? I mean, and this is one of the beauties of this show, is you get grilled twice a day every day about the details of that day's game. We get a chance to kind of wander a little bit. But now that Ben's playing and he's off doing his, he's got the bat bags and he's got the shirts and the name. A little different than when you first started.
You know, we were happy if we got a T-shirt, and now they got the full unis and they got road jerseys and different caps. It's changed, but good for the kids. They have a lot of fun.
You probably played for like Fred's Hardware Store or Ray's Dairy. Or, you know, something like that.
Always had the sponsor on there somewhere.
Yeah.
Right?
And we, our old Little League pictures back in Montana, everyone's wearing jeans. It's all blue jeans and a T-shirt. It's and an awkward looking hat. So, it's changed a little bit. So that's where Jack is. He is at Highland Park Little League, and certainly a great day for those kids as they kick off their season. Your season is more than kicked off, but we have really been in a tumultuous little stretch of baseball here with a lot of different roster moves forced by different situations. And I want to start there on a personal level for you. Mm-hmm. Because everybody can look at numbers and rosters and understand that moves need to be made and that they're part of how this business works. But on a personal level, man, that's probably about the worst part of your job. You've known a Danny Santana since he was 16, 17
yeah.
years of age. You've known Kyle Gibson forever. He's pitched a lot of big innings for you. You know Michael Tonkin a long time.
Sure.
Personally, that can't be a whole lot
well,
of fun.
Well, I appreciate you recognizing that. I think that, you know, on the outside, you look in and you see that the club's trying to do what's best, and sometimes you're forced to make decisions according to, you know, where you're at with the roster and injuries and all those type of things. But you do build relationships with people, and, you know, over and above performance in baseball, people first. And so it's tough when you have to be the bearer of news that might be a little disconcerting and even confusing at times, but you try to be empathetic to them and paint the picture, as well as making sure that you express your gratitude for what each of those three men that you talked about have done for our organization, and knowing that you'll cross paths somewhere down the road and try to encourage them that this could be a good thing, you know, whether it's Kyle Gibson returning or, you know, Danny landing with another club, possibly Michael. But to bring those guys in, obviously 3 days in a row, it's been an emotional 3 days as far as that goes.
And there are so many variables beyond the player's control. Obviously, they can control how they perform. If they perform really well, right. then you're okay. But whether it's a 40-man guy who's injured and can't be called up to fill a need or something that happens beyond their control, there's a lot of collateral damage.
Yeah, there is collateral damage. And it speaks more to the personal side. But, you know, they have families and, you know, you're upheavaling them and they're having to work out all the logistics, and that's fine because we live a great life and you have to make a lot of sacrifices, but we'll see how it shakes out. You know, we got Haley back today, not a perfect world where he only had one outing down there, but You know, he's back and he's fresh and he's ready to go today. So that was kind of the need that we had to address with Michael's designation yesterday.
All right. So Haley is back after pitching one very good inning at Rochester. Any other news before we take our first break in whether or not Danny's been claimed, or what are the timeline on something for Danny and for Michael?
I haven't heard anything this morning. I would imagine some of those things, if they do unfold as far as these guys landing with other clubs, and Danny and Michael's case, we'll probably find out sooner than later, but I would expect it probably not to be today.
All right. Well, we took you all the way from the innocence of Little League to the brutality of Major League Baseball there in one segment. We'll come back and talk about happier things and talk more about baseball. It's the Paul Molitor Show, brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer on your home for Twin Baseball.
This is the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
This is the Paul Molitor Show. It's brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, made in Minnesota, how memories are created and legends are made. I want to start with the good stuff here today after we opened with some of the logistics. Irvin Santana, Chris Sale. And if you like pitching, you like baseball, get to the ballpark, grab a radio, grab a television. It's going to be fun. These are guys who were both pitching very, very well. I always ask Danny this question. He says, the night before as a hitter, you're fired up. You can't wait. If you really want to be the best, you got to face guys like this. Were you like that as a hitter when you knew that you were going to face a true ace the next day? Were you fired up to get to the ballpark?
You know, I think particularly as a young player, you know, I was always one who kind of, at least, you know, in the back of my mind, looked ahead to, you know, rotation matchups when I knew we'd be going to Boston and New York, and you're a young player and playing in those famous stadiums, and then you'd face the likes of, you know, Guidry or Tiant or whoever it might be. You know, you'd mark those days down in the back of your mind. I think as you get older, you're still aware of those things, but you kind of a little more businesslike about, you know, okay, this is going to be fun, but you stay a little bit more present. But at a game like today, you know, it's early on in the season, but, you know, Sale's been dominant for multiple seasons, and Irvin's been good at times and really good at others, and right now he's as good as anybody. So you got a nice matchup with, I think, currently the number one and two guys in ERA in the American League, and it'll probably end up 10-9. I mean, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. That's what's the great thing about our game.
They do it in very different ways, obviously. Irvin has been coolly efficient. He works with a great tempo. Sale's a guy who can throw a ball through a brick wall, right, and he can strike you out at any point in time. This club and a lot of the guys that you maybe will be able to put in your lineup today have had some success against Sale for whatever reason. They don't like to talk about it, and I understand why, but
sure.
But they have had some success, which is more than most of the league can say.
Yeah, you know, especially a couple of years ago, I think we faced him like six or seven times, and we had a good year against him. I understand, like you do, that they don't want to talk about it because you don't want to, you know, put the old hex on something that seems to be going in your direction. But I don't think anybody ever gets overly comfortable when you got Chris Sale on the mound. And you know, potentially today, you know, Dozier not being in the lineup, who's done well against him. Buxton maybe not so well early, but a little bit better last year. So, you know, these are questions we still have to answer as we approach game time. But, you know, if you can find a way to score some runs off this guy and Irvin does his thing, that's going to be your best chance. But I'm sure Sale's very, very aware of his history with our club, too, and that might be extra motivation.
There's that old adage, too. If you don't get a guy like that early in a ball game, or if you squander a chance early in a ball game, he's just going to get better. Would you agree with that? Have you seen that play out over all your time in the game?
I think guys with this type of stuff and these type of resumes, they're Cy Young contenders each and every year, that they do have a way of starting to be able to sniff wins. You know, if they can somehow get through those first couple of innings somewhat unscathed, that obviously, especially if their club gives them a lead, they know how to pitch and they know how to protect those type of games. So that'll be part of the challenge depending on what happens early.
You touched on Brian Dozier, and we don't know at this point. We're talking in the 9 o'clock hour. He took a nasty turn with the ankle, trying to get the swelling down. But one thing it highlights is really how different it is to fill out a lineup when you can't put him at the top of it and you're shuffling some parts around. It's almost like you don't – I know you do, but you don't fully think about it until you're forced to think about it.
Well, you know, obviously, and no disrespect to the other people, there are certain guys that leave bigger voids when they're not available. And Brian at the top has been a staple for us here in the early stages this year. And last year we all know the type of season that he has. So – but, you know, I think that's a challenge for the other guys. You know, it's not like you have to do more, but you want guys to go in there and be able to be, you know, replacements that can help us try to find a way to win the game today. So I'm looking at a couple different options with the lineups, depending on if Byron's going to be able to go or not, and we'll see how it shakes out.
And now I know, again, Byron, we're going to wait on. He felt a ton better yesterday, told me just sure. in casual conversation that he felt like he could go. Now, what a player feels like and what a doctor feels
right.
like sometimes are different. But he did go through some drills yeah. yesterday, which is a good
thing.
Well,
I think he was definitely available yesterday in terms of pinch running or maybe a little bit of defense. And today, I know that's still the case. It's just a matter of if he's good enough to get a start today. And I do have to say about Brian as a little bit of an afterthought. I mean, for him to continue to play the other night and how swollen and discolored that ankle was yesterday, that was pretty amazing when I reflected on that. So we're trying to be patient with him to see if he's possibly available maybe even today, but more likely sometime next week, and we can avoid a DL situation with him.
I'm glad you pointed that. He made that play to his left in the ninth inning, and he had a long way to go, and it bobbled it and still got the out. He's doing it on one leg.
Yeah, he was basically doing that when we took a look at that ankle after. It was a pretty common sprain, and it was just, you know, on the lateral side, and you get the typical swelling and discoloration, but we'll see how he comes along. They can do a lot of good things with the rehab people now that expediates those processes.
That's Paul Molitor. Expediates. We haven't used that word a lot on this show. Expedites. We'll expedite our way to a break. We'll come back with more. It's the Paul Molitor Show on your home for Twins baseball. This is Chris Atterbury, and you're listening to the Paul Molitor Show on Go 96.3. Now, it's an official Paul Molitor show now because the real producer is in the studio. Benny's here. It's brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, made in Minnesota. How memories are created, legends are made. Jack Morris is parading around the Highland Park Little League. I might be wearing his old jersey. I'm not sure. Yeah. And Paul Molitor is here in studio anticipating a rubber match between the Minnesota Twins and the Boston Red Sox here today. And I want to talk about a couple of your offensive guys. Before banging into the walls and having the issues in the outfield physically, Byron Buxton was on a nice little tear at the plate. And Eddie Rosario really had seemed to find himself at the plate as well. What difference does that make in your lineup when you get those two guys in the bottom third able to get on base with some sense of regularity?
Well, I think it's a significant difference when you do have more balance. You know, Byron's struggles early were well documented, and he seemed to at least get to a point where his at-bats started to look more normal. You know, results are still going to be hit and miss, as they are for most players. But, you know, he gives us a chance to turn over the lineup with a potential to score some runs. You don't want to be limited to where you only feel where your lineup gets around to a certain place that you're going to have chances offensively. And with Rosie, obviously he's really trying hard to, you know, improve his overall game. Base running, defense, we know he's solid. But his at-bats, whether it's been left or right, he's been finding ways to do a little bit better job of keeping the ball in the zone. He still doesn't have a ton of walks and those type of things. But I think he's using counts in situations so far a lot more effectively.
We saw that one flashback to 2015. He had a double, I think, into left field on a ball that probably would have beamed a right-handed batter.
Yeah. And then yesterday he swung at one that was, he pulled it foul. It was a high heater. And I think it might have been just a tip over the top of his helmet. But, you know, those have been not nearly as common as we've seen in the past.
How much of a difference can Kenny Vargas be if you could plant the big man as a power source? You've got a lot of different types of hitters, but as a pure power source, as some protection behind Miguel in your life?
Well, I think it's, you know, to have a threat there, we certainly have tried different methods of protecting Miguel as hot as he's been in the early stages. To have a threat there is obviously a good thing in case they decide to pitch around Miguel. And with Kenny, you know, to be honest with you, it's like a lot of our guys. I look for opposing pitcher matchups that are conducive to things that he can do with the bat. And, you know, sometimes they're going to be a little tougher matchups, and you might see Grossman or other people filling the DH role or whatever it might be. But, you know, to have him as an option, knowing that he can drive the baseball the way he can and hit it as far as he can, it's a nice situation for myself.
Speaking of nice situations, when Joe hit the home run the other night to win the ball game, you've known Joe forever. I don't know. I've known him a decade. I don't know I've ever seen him more relaxed and genuinely happy and joyous as he was rounding first base. There was just this little glimpse of truly, I don't know, joyous Joe Mauer rounding first base.
Well, a couple of things. You know, I hadn't realized that he never hit a walk-off homer. there's probably a lot of guys that haven't, but when you think when a guy's played as much as he has, maybe it had happened along the way. But to see that raw emotion from Joe, it wasn't over the top, but it was real, and I'm sure it felt really good. I mean, you know, you hit a walk-off homer in a game that you just relinquished the lead in the ninth inning. One of the other things that was really fun for me to watch was Miguel's reaction as the on-deck hitter. You know, it wasn't about, you know, I wanted to be the guy or I didn't get a chance. He was jumping around like a five-year-old. You know, he was so excited for our team, first and foremost, and, of course, for Joe. And I think those type of things, they speak well of the guys are putting their name to the side and they're looking at the name, the Twins.
I'm glad you brought that up because Miguel really from drop of the hat this year, and the production obviously is there, and it's easier to smile when you're being productive, but he has been that combination of the joyous five-year-old and a more focused, mature player pretty much for the bulk of the season, and that's a point that every young player hits at a different stage.
Well, I think that he has really done well in that area. I think last year he got a lot of attention for maybe not all the right reasons. And he was aware of that, and I think he's really tried to, you know, not only in how he's played, but how he has spoke post-game. He's gotten a Player of the Week award. He's done some really, you know, high-end Major League-type player things early on here, and his answers are always about, you know, he redirects to the other people in the locker room and what we're trying to do collectively. And, you know, if we can continue to help establish that type of culture in our clubhouse, it's going to bode well.
Awesome. Well said. That's Paul Molitor. Let's step aside one final segment. When we return, it's the Paul Molitor Show. It's brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer. Get some. It's made in Minnesota, how memories are created and legends are made. And, oh, by the way, it tastes great on a warm Sunday at the ballpark. Back in a moment on your home for Twins baseball. Killebrew Root Beer brings you the Paul Molitor Show every single week. Check with your local affiliate. I know we are talking in the 9 o'clock hour, but we'll air at 11:30 here in the Metro. Paul Molitor, kind enough to make some time every Sunday morning. Again, brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer. And, Paul, it's the Twins and the Red Sox today. It's remarkable how close this all-time series is. It's practically deadlocked after over 600 games. This is a good Red Sox team. That's not a news flash. And they've got the top-end pitching when the Cy Young Award winner is like your fourth starter. one thing they don't have this year is David Ortiz. And it is a palpable difference in a lineup chock full of really talented and dangerous hitters still. It's very different not seeing big number 34 playing in the middle.
Yeah, you know, we all, you know David for a long time and you know, heading to Cooperstown and all those type of things. But it's a little bit different look. It doesn't mean that they're not going to be one of the high-end offensive teams in the game, because they are. They have that many good players, talented, young. They do have some veterans sprinkled in there. But, you know, he's done a lot of damage against the Twins over the past several years, David has. So that's one good thing that's working in our favor. But, you know, I think just the game in general misses a character like that, especially everything they did on and off the field for the game.
The one young guy, again, they've got so much talent, whether it's Mookie Betts, whether it's Benintendi, Xander Bogaerts has, you know, the last 11 games against the Twins, 8 games of 3 hits or more. Is you guys still
that?
Searching through the book to figure
how
out how
that?
To get that guy out?
You know, it's funny because you think that you look at what he's doing and pitches that he's hitting and how to go about it, and, you know, you could throw it out the window once you fall behind the guy, because then you got to throw it over. And he just does a good job of spraying the ball around. He's got very, very good bat quickness if you try to come in, and he certainly can cover you. He takes that one-handed swing on those sliders away and dumps them into the outfield. He likes hitting here in Target Field. You know, this year, he's just found a way. But that lineup, even without David, Benintendi, certainly one of our emerging young stars, and Betts, of course, in the MVP hunt last year, Ramirez, they have a lot of really good hitters.
And one guy that commands respect, I think, around the league. Certainly, I will turn out to see what he's up to is Dustin Pedroia, and he just continues to be, in many ways, what a baseball player should be.
Well, you know, every once in a while I get asked about guys that, you know, you talk about players around the league that you really admire and have a lot of respect for. He's right at the top for me. You know, the way he's going about it, being a leader and playing the game the right way. And, you know, he's still playing at a high level. And he'll hit first, he'll hit third, he'll hit fourth. He can do a lot of things, kind of like Dozier does for us. But, you know, he's going to be into every pitch every day.
Now, and is it true? I'm trying to remember. Did Farrell end your hitting streak? Or were you in on the on-deck circle? What was
the story? John Farrell, he pitched a game where my streak ended way back some, I don't know how many years ago, but he was a young starter. It might have been his first big league start because he had been a reliever, and I think he got a spot start, and I shut me down 0-for-4. So it ended at 39, so we'll always be connected in that way.
Yeah, so you owe him a little bit. Yeah. Quickly, we got a little over a minute. I know you were working on a couple different lineups at this point, but some of the folks you might have in ink yet?
You know, we're trying to get as many righties as we can in there. Good chance Adrianzen will be in there. You know, with Dozier not playing, Gross will probably lead off. The only question mark today will be whether Byron's going to play or put Kepler back in center field. Jimenez is going to catch today, too. So we'll shape it up here, hopefully in the near term, and get an answer on Byron and put together something that gives us a chance to win the series today.
All right, let's hope we get some of your kids out of the trainer's room and healthy again, and we look forward to a fun day today and a great week of baseball ahead.
Sounds good. All right.
Paul Molitor, as always, here on the Paul Molitor Show, with some great insight and information and sharing some memories as well, dating back to the Highland Park Little League. It's the Paul Molitor Show. It's brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, made in Minnesota, how memories are created and legends are made. Now, we've got a lot more coming up for you all day long here across our network. Just after noon, Corey Provis will be in this room with Derek Falvey. They'll, I'm sure, be talking about a lot of the things Paul and I discussed in terms of options at AAA, the injury list at AAA mounting, some of the different and very difficult roster decisions that have been forced upon the Twins over the course of the last couple of days. That's coming up at noon at 12:30. It's your pregame lineup card. Neil Allen will chat about Irvin Santana, and we'll hear from Brad Style on our minor league player of the week. And then, of course, baseball. If you like pitching, you might want to turn up for this one, because Irvin Santana versus Chris Sale is one to watch. It's the Twins, it's the Red Sox, right here on your home for Twins baseball.